I once heard the story of someone who worked in church ministry, who, being a rather large person, said, "If the body is the temple of the Spirit, I'm a basilica." My friends, today we celebrate one of the more unusual feasts of the church calendar. It doesn't commemorate a saint or a biblical event. It celebrates a building, specifically the Basilica of St. John Lateran in Rome. It's the oldest of the four major basilicas in Rome, and as such serves as the official seat of the Bishop of Rome. And you know who the Bishop of Rome is? Pope Francis. St. Peter's Basilica seems to get all the attention, but it's the Lateran Basilica that is really the Pope's church. As one commentator said, St. John Lateran is the parish church of all Roman Catholics, the spiritual home of all the people who are the church. The first basilica was built in the 4th century when the Emperor Constantine gave land he had received from the wealthy Lateran family. Over many years, it was rebuilt 4 or 5 times due to earthquakes or fire and war. The present basilica, the Lateran Basilica, was erected in 1646, and its official title is the Archbasilica of the Most Holy Savior and Saints John the Baptist and the Evangelist at the Lateran. Remember that one. But we call it, of course, the Basilica of St. John Lateran. But brothers and sisters, today we don't celebrate only a collection of stones, no matter how beautiful the building is. We celebrate the faith of those who have sanctified its walls and continue to do so today. In his autobiography, Father Thomas Merton wrote, "I thought churches were simply places where people got together and sang a few hymns. And yet now I tell you, it is the sacrament, Christ living in our midst. It is He who alone holds our world together." So then when we hear the word church, what comes to mind? Perhaps we think of, yes, a building like Incarnation, where people gather to worship. Or the word church might lead us to think of worship itself, as when I am going to church means I'm going to Mass. Church might also call to mind the institution, the Roman Catholic Church, with its structure and teachings and authority. Or perhaps church brings to mind a gathering of believers, the church as its people, a community of faith. My friends, what we have right here, right now, is all of the above. We are God's people, a faith community. We are the church, gathered for worship, gathered to offer the prayer of the Roman Catholic Church. And we're doing all this, yes, in a church. As the late former pastor, Father Bill LaFrata, would say when talking about this space, this worship center, when we gather here in this worship center, we become church. Brothers and sisters, all of the scriptures today refer to the temple in one way or another. We might be tempted to think of the temple as the physical temple in Jerusalem, but the scriptures today are really referring to the temple of our own body. They remind us that through our baptism, we become those temples of the Holy Spirit. My friends, each of us is one of the living stones in the temple of God. None of us is the whole temple. I'm not. You're not. The Pope isn't. But each of us together build up that temple which is Christ's body. Together we are the living and pulsing and moving, breathing body of Christ in this parish that we call Incarnation. More than any other building in Charlottesville or in Rome, the church is the body of Christ as it lives in us. In our first reading today, the prophet Ezekiel described the temple as a great wellspring from which flows a river of living water, filling the oceans, nurturing all life, and providing healing. And from this living body, this living temple, should flow forth healing waters, providing life and sustenance, especially for the poor, the hungry, and the homeless. Because the church, the body of Christ, never exists for itself, but always for others. And Paul's image in the second reading is one I think that we can all relate to. St. Augustine told his people, "The church is the people. These are the living stones which build the temple of God. We may not be great basilicas, but we are God's temples, and as such, we are the foundation of Christ and called to bring Christ to the entire world." My friends, when Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the Passover, what does he find? You heard it. You heard the story in the gospel. A noisy marketplace, loud mouthing, if you will, its way into the very temple precincts itself, where it didn't belong. And money motivated it all. In other words, buyers and sellers both were distracted from the real God for whom the temple was built. The temple scene must have broken Jesus' heart. Thus, his angry toppling of the vendors' booths and tables become, in a way, a condemnation of the injustice and exploitation of the faithful in the name of God. Jesus says, "Your soul has to be the bottom line here, not greed, because your self-indulgence is wrecking God's covenant of love." So empty and meaningless had the people's worship become that Jesus tells them that if they destroy his temple, he will rebuild it in 3 days. Here, of course, Jesus is referring to his own death and resurrection. And it's only after the resurrection that the disciples came to really understand the meaning of Jesus' words. Thus, the temple is now the Christian community, the risen body of Christ. So it's important in today's celebration that we recall who we are and how we are to be, and seen to be the temple of Christ's body for the world. And in a sense, that's what the new evangelization is calling us to be that temple of God in the world, to be the witnesses of Christ. Brothers and sisters, today may these two tables of word and of sacrament around which we, the church, gather, provide the nourishment we need to be the church the Lord has made of us. And may we recognize the life of the Holy Spirit deep within each one of us and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in bringing that good news of Jesus to the world. Amen.